AFK discussions start now.
What hearts beat on the edge of leisure? Could see the world the way I see it. Would you dare step into the tension? What hides beyond the veil we're taught to trust? Is it only fear or all of us?
Hey guys, welcome back to AFK Discussions, and we have a really good show tonight. We got Brooks from Smokey's Unforgotten Spirits. Guys, it's going to be awesome. Real quick, let me give you a shout out to FatTac, FatTac.com for all your tactical needs. They're big to small. They have you covered. They go sizes all the way up to 5X and body armor. So, you know, if you need body armor, then I would go there because it's legit. Also, they have some really cool holsters, appendix carry holsters for big guys, but not only for big guys, for small guys too, because, you know, who wants to wear a holster that's above your belly button? That's ridiculous. All right, guys, that's my spiel. FatTac.com, check them out. Also, give us a like, follow, subscribe, 5-star review, all that, because like I said, last week we're getting it started again. So I'm going to need all your help to kind of push the algorithm to get our name out there again. All right, man. Brooks, how's it going, dude? It's been a while.
It's been a minute. How are you doing?
Pretty good, man. What? We were just talking, like, did you say 2 years? It's been, I thought it was only a year.
I'm almost positive it's been 2 years.
That's crazy, dude. So I guess you've experienced a lot in 2 years of the supernatural of the Smoky Mountains.
You could say once or twice, I guess.
Man, no, gosh, the last time I was at Elkmont, it was, I don't know, it impacted me more after I left than when I was there, but still I was freaked out because that was the most active I've ever experienced, you know, with the, you know, you had the motion sensor lights. Yeah. And you had the music box and the REM pod. I mean, everything was going off, and it was intense.
And so, just in that one little cabin that was the servants' quarters, it's like we had the, because they had the back bathroom there. We had the motion sensor back there that was going off every few minutes. Then he had the REM pod in the middle. I think Phil had some sort of spirit box or word bank.
Yeah,
up on the fire, on the, and that was saying stuff. It was just going off.
Yeah, man, it was intense to say the least. And then, you know, we went to cabin 13, and all that happened in that, the, it's the back room to the right. You put the, I think, a light in there, and yep, you know, the music box was in there. Yeah. I think and the REM pod, and it was like just constant. I was freaked out a little bit.
And believe it or not, that cabin has not, it has not kept its rank as the most active cabin in Elkmont for me.
Really? Dang.
The one next door, cabin 11, has surpassed that one now.
Dude, cabin 11. So if I'm remembering correct, is that the one that has the servants' quarters behind it?
No.
Or is that? So, no. Okay.
So it's right next to 13. It would be one to the left. It's kind of hard to say when you're not there, but as soon as you walk into the cabin, there's a big room to your left. There's a smaller room to your right and a long hallway. Then it has one more room to your right, and then it has like the room that connects to that big room and then goes into a kitchen. And then you walk downstairs into like a big living room with a fireplace, and there's another room back.
There's a downstairs in it?
Yeah, it's like two steps though. So it's not downstairs, but
I gotcha.
Yeah, it just goes down the hill with it a little bit.
So if I am facing the cabin, is it says directly to the left?
The next one, next door.
Okay. So then the one with the servant's cabin is the one next door to that then.
I think it's like three cabins down.
Oh, is it three cabins?
Yeah, that one's like,
it's been a while since I've been there.
Yeah, no, that one I want to say is like if you go to the other end, it's like the third cabin in.
Is that one, the one in front of the servant's cabin, is the one that whenever we went into it, everything just went like deathly quiet. It was almost like we were in like a soundproof room. I mean, I could hear my heart beating. That's how quiet it was.
Quiet where it almost hurts you.
Yeah. And that was insane.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the only thing I've experienced in that cabin was the deathly quietness.
Yeah.
And then we came back. When I came back in that cabin, it wasn't like that the second time.
It changed.
But we heard a bunch of stuff outside walking around, and there was no one there.
Oh, yeah. So it's frequent there. And like one of the last times we've been there, I guess I'll just jump right into it. But
yeah, go ahead.
The one last time we were there, it was interesting because I'm a big hockey fan. You know that.
Oh yeah.
But for the listeners, I'm a huge hockey fan with the Knoxville Ice Bears, our local hockey team. And we had a big rivalry game, but I'm friends with some of the rival fans, and they were like, we want to go out on a ghost hunt. We're like, okay, cool. So we went to the Alkmont and just, you know, having a normal day. The whole crew's there. We have some new toys. And we're doing an investigation over in the around the cabin 11, 13 area. And on the other end, there's a big loud bang, huge bang that we all, you know, just like paranormal investigators. Here we go, wobbling all the way over there. Nothing happens. And then there's a bang back to where we were. So here we go again, you know, back and forth. And eventually we just left the equipment and all the cameras and everything because we're just like, okay, now we just need to see what's going on.
Yeah.
And the one after like three or four times of this doing this, I turn around. We're back down towards the servants' quarters cabin on the other end, and we start walking up. And I don't know what urged me to turn around, but I turned around, and I was halfway between the servants and cabin 11, so maybe 50 feet. I see this big dark figure, be like eight feet tall, just walk across the road, you know, past that that lodge and behind the bathrooms. And I was like, okay, that's a little different. Nothing, you know, we've seen shadows, we've seen the walking, or heard the walking, seen the walking, Jesus. It's been a long day. It's okay, cool. I'm not going to say anything just yet because I like to wait for somebody to tell me so then I feel validated. If you see this, I need you to tell me what you saw later. So that way I'm like, okay, cool. So I'm not the only one who saw that. And we're going back and forth. We found out what was banging was one. It was the cabin to the right of the servants. It's one of the first ones. There was a door in there, and it just kept opening and slamming shut the front door. And we're like, okay, cool. So we're trying to figure out why that's happening because it's not very windy night. It's not like there's a little wind, but it's nothing like where I feel like it would be slamming every 5 minutes. And we're going through, and we hear something hit the roof of a cabin across the way. So we come outside, and it was Cass, one of my friends. She grabbed me by the shoulder, pulled me back, and she's like, I just saw an 8-foot figure cross the way on over by the parking lot where we park. So the opposite side. So I was like, okay. And then Matt, like 2 minutes later, the partner that only help runs us, he told me that he saw it like 30 minutes ago on the same side cross. So what it seemed like to me was it was making a noise on one side of the way and then crossing where we ran away, which is weird, but
yeah,
that's what it seemed like, you know, okay, let's get them away. Well, we start walking up towards where they saw it up near the parking lot. And then we just hear this glass shatter, just glass breaking, shattering. And we all take off running because we're like, okay, now there is a person in this little ghost town now.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have guns, we have armor. So we pulled out the weapons and we're just like, what the hell's going on? We go in there. There's no one in there, but there's glass everywhere. We don't even know where a glass anything would be because these cabins have been not lived in years. And now we cleared the cabin. We're kind of looking out. We had the flashlights out, holster our guns. All right, now we have to figure out what's going on. Go over to the glass, and it almost looks like a bowl to me. And it's like, I'm like, what? It's a light cover, like one from the light fixture.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But they were never put up. And I was like, that's weird. And I'm looking through, and I opened up the one drawer, and there's like three more in the drawer. So they took them off the tops and put them in the like the little counter that they have in the kitchen. Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, how did this break this?
Yeah, for real.
So it was just a weird thing of nights, but also we were in that vortex where it was so quiet. You know, it rained all month. You heard the creek when we got there. You heard the little wind in the trees. There was just dead silent now. Dead silent. It's almost like a piercing where it's so quiet. We didn't know this, but that was when we were having those like 90 mile per hour, 100 per hour winds, but they were around us, but we weren't feeling it or seeing it. When we left later that night, there was trees in the road and there's branches everywhere. It looked like a hurricane went by.
Yeah, that's crazy. But
we weren't experiencing any of that in Alkmont. And I still have some of the footage I actually could show you, but it was just weird.
Yeah.
And then
that is crazy.
it kind of settled down for a little bit after that, but it was just what's going on. Because it turned into an investigation where we go, we take the camera, we have all the equipment, and then it turned into, let's just have a chill night and relax and take in what's going on right now. Because I'm actually having a lot more fun than worrying about the camera and the equipment and everything. I'm like, there's so much going on right now.
Yeah. So I just want to make sure, because I'm trying to get a picture of my head, in my head, of what you're talking about. So like the I can't remember what you call it, where the bathrooms are,
it's like a lodge.
The lodge, is that
where
the big parking lot is? Is that what you're talking about, that lodge down there on the far side?
Yeah.
The parking lot?
So when you first come into Elkmont, you go, you pass the campground, you come in, and then
I always go around and park at the top.
Yeah. So we parked up at the top. That's where we normally park, where we kind of met you and Phil the first time. And then the opposite side is where that big lodge is, and they have that little bit of parking lot there. That's where.
Okay.
And that's where
I just wanted to be clear. That's what you were talking about.
Yeah.
So I got a question. Yeah. So this may be something you haven't experienced, but since the last episode with Laura, we were talking about Dog Man a lot. And I mentioned the fact that, you know, that cemetery is there, and that like Dog Man entities are usually seen around cemeteries.
Yes.
And I know there are Sasquatch in the Smoky Mountains, definitely, especially like Black Mass Paranormal. I don't know if you follow him, but I know I've seen some evidence he has from, you know, around that area. So have you ever experienced any like Dogman stuff around Elkmont? I mean, I'm just grasping at straws here, but, you know, now, I mean, it just.
I can't say yes and I can't say no, because I really fully don't know what we've experienced. That particular occasion, I 100% think it was a Bigfoot, and I'll tell you why here in a little bit. But in that area, some of our other places that we've investigated, it's come off of our spirit box. There's a monster in the woods. Okay.
Yeah, well, I've experienced that.
At the Kelly house, I think it was.
Yeah.
But there's a monster. Okay, well, what kind of monster? Big one. That narrows it down. I said, is it a person? No. Okay. Is it a Bigfoot? No. Okay, well, what is it? Dog. Well, what kind of dog? Big dog. And I've taken my dog on investigations, and he's a 90-pound pit bull. And I said, like my dog? Like, I'll have him with me. And he goes, bigger. I said, well, how much bigger? Like, this, like, double size? And they're like, bigger. Okay. But that's all I got, is hearsay on a spirit box.
Yeah.
So,
well, I know you said in the past when you were on that there was something pacing you all in the woods.
Yes.
But I think that's over the schoolhouse area, not at Elkmont.
And that's kind of where and that's close to Elkmont. It's not too far. It's only like 5 miles.
Okay.
But it's one of those things where it's like, we've experienced so much there. And here recently, like, they closed that down for the winter. So I haven't been back since they've opened it up like 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, I went back, but not for an investigation. I wanted to see if it was open. But we've had almost confirmed things of Bigfoot there, and what the spirit box says is a big dog. Mm-hmm. I don't know what classifies Dog Man for being a big dog. So it's like, I can say yes, but I have no proof. So,
yeah. Of course, you know, like in Appalachian folklore, there is the stories of the black dog.
Yes.
And which are just giant, like, black hounds.
Yeah.
Or like spiritual hounds, or ethereal, I guess you would say, hounds. So, I mean, it could be something like that.
It could be. And I was thinking, like, oh, like a hellhound, or.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Which, I mean, essentially, that's what it is, you know, the black dog. Thing. Yeah.
But I was like, you know, what kind of dog are we talking about? Big dog. Billy, you're not helping me out here. I know you're only a little spirit, but you're not helping me out. And, it, like I said, like you said, when we've done these hikes out there, like, we hear something pacing us. And one of the last times we've been out there, we've heard whoops, but not very loud. It's almost like how me and you are talking right now. And I just go whoop, but a little bit more higher pitch and off to the right. But it wasn't very loud. And it was always in twos. So you hear one, and then you hear another one, like, 3 seconds later, and then it would go quiet for about 10 minutes, and then you'd hear another one.
It's interesting. So I'm going to ask, have you ever heard clicking? So you know the movie The Predator? You know that sound the Predator makes? I can't make it.
No.
But have you ever heard anything like that before, like in up there?
Nothing like that.
Okay.
Per se, I can't hear anything like that. I've heard the walking. I've heard something run and stop, and, you know, you hear that slide.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard the whoops, and we've heard a bad imitation of an owl. A very bad imitation of an owl.
Yeah. The reason I bring the up first, the like, oh really?
We talked about that the first time I was on.
I remember that. The owl, yeah. So the reason I bring up that is I was in the production of Sasquatch and the Missing Man for Merkle Media. So I had the cool opportunity because Wes Germer told his story. So we did like a recreation.
Yeah.
And I had the opportunity. I was Wes Germer in the recreation, which was really cool. But when we were there filming, like Tony came up and he was like, hey, you know, I just heard this like weird predator sound. And so Josh, one of the owners of Fat Tack, he was like, yeah, that's just crickets or something, you know. And I heard crickets also chirping. And I was like, yeah, or frogs, almost like a frog croak, right?
Yeah.
And it kind of makes that clicking sound.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, it's just frogs or something, because it had rained recently and there's like a lake nearby. So we were, you know, kept on filming. After we were done, we walked over to where the trucks are. And Tony's like, no, dude, it was not a frog or a cricket or anything. It sounded like the predator. And we're all standing around talking. It's literally like me, Jack, Tony, see who else was there. Pretty much the whole Merkle Media crew. You know?
Yeah.
Everyone who's in the films. And we're standing there and it happens again. And I heard it and I was like, holy crap, that's insane. I mean, it literally sounded like the predator, and it was coming from the woods. It sounded like it was up in the trees, right? And so we were standing there and it did it again. Tony's like, all right, let's go. And so we all grabbed our guns and started hiking in this forest. And the thing is, this is an undisclosed location. So this area we were in is the area that why can't I think of his name? Real famous YouTuber that did Bigfoot. Like he had like a whole, this was his area of investigation. He passed away like a year or so ago. Scott Carpenter.
Oh, okay.
So this was Scott Carpenter's investigation area. And he had told Tony, don't go there at night. But look at us, you know, it's like midnight. We're over there filming. Yeah.
That's like me.
So, it was very weird sound. We hiked, I guess, about maybe a half mile back in the woods. It's like it was a trail. I mean, we weren't like just like stomping through the woods. But we went back there and we decided, you know, there's nothing. So we're going to turn around and come back. And then a stick got thrown through the woods and at us. That was crazy. But to this day, like, I cannot find anything that sounds like it except for the predator. And like, I've looked up everything and there's, you know, similar sounds like the shoebill stork, which is, you know, not anywhere around here. It's like in Africa, but there's nothing around here that sounds like it. But the weird thing is, dude, is I've heard that sound in like around my house, though, like during the daytime. But it's not a woodpecker. I cannot figure out where it's coming from, but I hear it. And that makes me pretty freaked out, because if there is some sort of creature that the predator's based off of that's cloaked around my house, I need to know this, you know? This all I'm leading up to say is I was watching Expedition Bigfoot, the show. I'm sure you're familiar with it.
Yeah.
Probably the listeners are familiar. So Russ Acord was like exploring and, you know, doing his like investigation, and he heard the exact sound in on the show. And it's on the show. And it's, dude, it's crazy to hear that, the exact sound that we heard on Expedition Bigfoot. And they're like, we have no idea what it is.
That is actually really wild. I've never heard, but that's I don't even know how you would even make that noise.
I don't, apparently people can make it. I don't know. Whenever that came out, I sent a message to Tony. I can probably pull it up and play the audio. But if you want to keep going and telling more about your experiences, then I'll find this and I'll play it when I find it.
I can actually piggyback a little bit, because you said you got a stick thrown at you. If we go back to the Alkmont story where we were having the noises going back and forth and the glass shattering, I would say about an hour after all that, we went to another cabin, and we're just kind of walking through the cabins and seeing if the energy is changing, if the area is changing. And every once in a while, you know, we would hear something hit the roof of these cabins. And, you know, but for the listeners, like, these cabins have like tin roofs almost. So if something hits it, it makes a pretty loud noise. Like I said, it's a little windy, but not crazy. So we're just thinking, you know, every once in a while an acorn's hitting the top and that, or there's some really bad parkouring squirrels and they just really suck at their job.
Yeah.
But we were walking and I was walking on the side. My buddy Josh was walking on the other side of the cabin, and I saw something hit the roof and roll off, and I screamed for him, and he came over. He came over, and we saw what hit the roof and fell, and it was like a piece of concrete, like just something like chipped off, like a piece of concrete or like some sort of rock. We're just like, okay. And he's like, that's weird. Maybe he goes, surely that's not what you saw. And I said, dude, I swear, like, this is what hit the roof, and this, it landed 5 feet in front of me. I saw where it landed. Like, this was it. And he goes, I just don't think so. He goes, I think it would have made a louder noise. I said, maybe you're right. Maybe I'm just seeing things or wanting to see something. Because that's one biggest thing. I want to try to debunk what I've seen slash do, and I don't want to say it's anything. So he goes back to the other side of the cabin because he thought he saw something over there. So he's going to go over there. And I keep walking. And then the girls, Matt, and there was somebody else in the cabin just walking around. And their point of view probably had the best, because all they heard was, ow, son of a! And they all come running out. And I got hit in the face with a rock. Like, I was bleeding from my lip. I had a mark for about like 3 weeks, because I work with Josh, and he would come in like a week later. He goes, dang, you still have that mark? I said, yeah. And they took pictures. I can send you the picture, actually.
Yeah, I would like to see it.
But like, it hit me right in the tooth.
Really? Dang.
Yeah, and that was when Matt goes, and this is Matt, so usually you have to convince him on something, but he came and he goes, there's a mother effing Bigfoot here. He goes, I swear there is, because he goes, these rocks are flying every few minutes. We're seeing this big figure cross. You know, you just got hit in the face with a rock. And I said, it's either that or somebody's about to get shot.
That's crazy, man.
Let's see here.
I want to see that picture whenever you can pull it up.
Yeah.
Found the audio, but for some reason it's not pulling up. Typical, right?
Yeah, when you want it the most.
Yeah. I'm looking in my camera now.
But yeah, I would say ever since, even before you and Phil came, like, Elkmont has just been crazy. Not saying it wasn't crazy before.
Yeah. Do you know the history of Elkmont? Like, what could have happened there? Or is it just, do you think it's just like lingering souls?
Who's to say? But I mean, the history is, it was an old logging town.
Yeah.
I know. And
it used to be called
Daisy Town.
Yeah.
Daisy Town. I heard there was a lot of sicknesses. Now, this is just like stuff that I've just heard from other people. I actually haven't went and done research. I should. I feel like I'd be better at my job if I did that. But the park ranger, like, because they'll put a park ranger there during the day, and you can go talk to that person. Yeah. And the lady there, she's great. I forget her name, and it's going to kill me. She has my card and everything, and she knows who I am. But yeah. She has a book of, like, who lived in what cabin, and, you know, what they did, and how long they lived there. And multiple people lived in this cabin, and multiple people lived in that cabin. And she has the information about the cabins that are no longer there, because right now there's only, like, 15 cabins there. There used to be like 56.
Dang, really?
Yeah. So if you go back on the trail back at the top side where you park, past, there's a trail to the left, and there's old foundations and chimneys and stuff that they couldn't save.
Dang, I didn't know that.
Okay.
I know. Wasn't there like a hotel or something up there too?
There is a hotel.
At one point.
That's off the road. So as you're driving in, it come in, it's one of the first pull offs. It's like somebody told me it was like a 10-mile hike. I don't know if that's true or not, or if that's a both way hike, but it's
10 miles seems, I mean, it seems like, gosh, that's a pretty far distance.
Yes. Okay. So I just sent you the pictures. The one with me wearing the hat, it was taken like right after I got hit. And then the second picture is like 2 weeks after I got hit.
Dang, man, that's crazy.
But you can post that for the show too.
I definitely post it in like the show notes or something. Man, you get like the, no pun intended, the rough end of the stick. Like, because when we were at Elkmont, you got scratched on your arm too.
Yeah, it or scratched. Like, my arm was,
it was
red.
Something. Yeah.
Like, I just remember, because I remember just sitting there with a flashlight, because I thought I heard a growl in 13, and all of a sudden I was like, ow, what? It's just like a pain shot through my arm, and it was red and swollen for about a day.
Yeah, that was insane.
And not at Elkmont, this didn't happen, but just to continue on of, hey, let's beat up Brooks. This is probably like my second favorite thing we found this in the past year. Or found, just experience, I would say. So we were at the schoolhouse, and we brought a whole bunch of people with us, newer people. And we were having this one guy, he was describing things that he was seeing because he was walking around in the woods, and he was describing black-eyed kids, but he had no idea what a black-eyed kid was.
Really?
And that's the day I texted you. I was like, what's your opinion on black-eyed kids? And I remember you and Phil were doing an episode right then and there, and I joined in for the little bit I was at work. But he was like – he came running into the schoolhouse, and he's like, bro, he goes, I just saw a kid. His face was pure white. He had a hood on, and his eyes were blacker, like obsidian black. And I was like, cool. So – just, that's normal. You know, you're fine. Just come on into the schoolhouse.
That's normal.
And Matt was looking at me, and I couldn't tell if this guy was being serious or not. Don't know him that well. I more know the people that came with him. I invited them. He came along. And I'm just trying to get a read. I told Matt, I kind of whispered over to him. I was like, B-E-K? And he's like, that's exactly what he just described. And that whole night beforehand, there was a lot of things on the Estes method where it was like, can I come in? We're like, no, you can't come in. No. So it was just like stuff that was thing. But from my knowledge and my research on it, black eyed kids are more physical, not like paranormal. And this felt, black eyed kids are paranormal, I would say, but like a spirit versus something that's physical. And this seemed more of an entity / spirit than something that's physical. But the guy had pure terror in his face, so we believed him. He had no idea. We told him later, and he did all this research, and he's like, all the pictures on Google are not making it justice, he said, of what he saw. But he said, just describe like a 6-7-year-old kid. And he had a black hoodie on. His face was like you put white makeup on, and he had black eyes. And I said, where are the pupils black, or where is his like eye black? Like, are we like metal bands? I said, like the metal bands. And he's like, no, like the eyes.
Like black metal, like the
face paint, the Black Veil Brides. I was like, is it like Black Veil Brides, or is it like, he's like, no, like the where it should be white or black. And I was like, okay. I said, well, come sit in here. We'll chill out. We kind of barricaded the door a little bit, so that way if something forced its way in, it's not there for good intentions, we'll just start shooting.
Yeah.
And we got all this on video, and I can link that to you also. And I was kind of tired. It was late. And I'm laying on the pew of this schoolhouse / church, and all of a sudden, I get yanked off. Like, I hit the ground hard. And I was like, Jesus. And I kind of crawled back, and I was like trying to process what just happened, because I had my eyes closed. I thought Matt was being an a-hole to me. He just yanked me off and tried to get me to get a reaction or wake me up. And I kind of like looked around, and no one was near me. And of course, the camera was in the back corner and didn't really see too much. And I was like, well, okay. And I was like, I want to go. Like I want to go. I had an arm print on my shoulder. I had a scratch on my leg. Like, I was scratched like multiple times. So I'm like, I want to leave. Like, I'm not okay right now. I just want to leave. And he's like, I don't think it's a good idea to leave right now with what he's explaining. We're hearing a lot in the woods right now. I don't think it's a good idea. I think our safest spot right now is in this schoolhouse. And I was like, all right. He goes, how about we move the camera to the front of the room? You lay back down. And unfortunately, let's see if it happens again.
Dude, that's...
And I was like, you know, this is what I signed up for. You know, it's... I'm not looking to get hurt. I'm not looking to get possessed. I'm not looking for anything to follow me home. But I mean, it's kind of like, it's in the contract I signed.
Yeah.
So I was like,
That's crazy, man.
We moved the camera up front. I lay back down just like I was. And you could see me in the video. I'm like tensing up. I'm like holding my arm stiff. And I'm like, I'm getting ready for it. And it's not happening. And then I would say, I think it was like 7-10 minutes later. And I could be wrong on that time frame. I finally like settled down. And then you just see me. Whoom, I said the bottom part of my hip and my shoulder at the same time left the bench. We've slowed it down because they thought I was faking it. And I said, if you could tell me how I faked it, please tell me and give me an Oscar, because we slowed it down because I showed it to people at work and they're like, oh, your butt moved way before. You just scooted off. And then they slowed it down. They're like, no. So I was like, if anyone could tell me how I faked it, please let me know.
That's crazy, man.
But I hit the ground so hard. I have an old soccer injury. I think I've said in the past, I dislocate my knee a lot. So it pops out of place. I have to pop it back in. It's very painful. Love it. I hit the ground so hard, my knee popped out. So I tried to stand up and I couldn't. So I had to kind of scoot back and reset myself. And that's about, I think we left like 45 minutes after that. But that it started crazy. To die after that. And I didn't sit back in that chair and no one did.
So you said that video is on your channel, right?
It's on our TikTok. I kind of gave up on YouTube. I probably shouldn't. I suck at editing and everything like that. TikTok, I kind of feel like I get more viewers. I get more stuff like that. And it's not really for the viewers, but I like sharing it. So I get the more interactive there. And I think it might be on my Instagram. And I know I put it on Facebook.
Okay. Dang. So real quick, while I'm thinking about it, you go ahead and tell everyone where they can find your TikTok and stuff, because they need to definitely see that.
We are the Smokies on Forgotten Spirits. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, yes, but I haven't posted anything on there forever. So yes, I do post things on there, but it's not very regular really, and I should get back into it, and I just need that kick in the butt to do it. So if somebody has a good boot to kick me in the butt, please do. But it's just the Smokies on Forgotten Spirits, and or our abbreviation TSUS.
So guys, go check that out right now. Not right now. Wait till the show's over and then go check it out. So I found it, guys. I found the clip I was looking for. So this is, I got to give credit where credit's due. This is from Expedition Bigfoot on the Discovery Channel. And I'm going to play this real quick.
Here is the recording of the sound that we heard.
Russ, you recorded some strange sounds last night. Back at the command center, Bryce has downloaded the audio recordings from Russell for review.
All right, let's take a listen to this thing here. Okay, yeah, that's strange. Let me play that again and just loop it. It almost sounds like a little bit of wood knocking or maybe even some teeth chattering. I'm not sure. Listen to this section right here. It's almost like something you would hear in a zoo, like in the bird section, right? Like, listen to this. That is so strange.
I will try to send it to you. How about that?
Okay. Yeah. We'll try that.
my kids are in here doing something, and it's really driving me crazy. Guys, get out of here. I'm trying to record. Okay. And I'm not editing that out and leaving that in.
There you go.
I also like to edit.
I also sent you the video that I was just talking about, too. Awesome. So that way you can share that if you wanted to.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely will. Well, I'm going to just have to figure this out later and send it to you because I can't figure it out right now.
Yeah, we'll figure it out later.
Because it's from a message from that I sent to Tony. Because I was like, hey, this is the sound we heard. It's on, you know, anyway. Yeah. Anyways. So, dude, what has, like, there been, because I can't even talk. We went to the other place. I know we talked about where the woods echo.
The Noah Bud Ogle.
Yeah. So have you been over there lately? Anything crazy over there?
I haven't. We don't really go over there too often. We don't get a whole lot there. We do get that echo, but we get that echo more at the schoolhouse than anything.
Really?
And it's really cool because you'll stand right in front of the schoolhouse. You know, you make a clap or a loud noise and there's no echo. 10 minutes later, you just go stand in the same exact spot and do it, and it comes back, and then it goes away, and then it comes back, and it goes away, comes back, goes away. But when it's echoing, that's when we seem to be getting our most stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the most interactions with anything.
Now, I'm going to loop back now to the black-eyed kids. Since you frequent up there in the Smokies area and you actually work up there, Have you ever heard anyone else talk about any sort of BEKs or anything like that?
In recent times, no. But my buddy Matt, who, like I said, he does this with me, he's related to a lot of the people who lived in the national park. Mm. And he said, now this is just hearsay, so don't, if somebody on the internet is going to take me down, go at him first. He said in their diaries that they would have in their notebooks that they would keep stuff written down, they would talk about these children that would come down from the forest and try to like come and talk to them a lot. Mm-hmm. Or like try to get them to like, can I come in? You know, can I come into the house? They would try to get me to let them in the house. And, you know, these were stubborn old ladies. And I'd be like, no, you can't come in my house. Like, get out of here. But they would always come down to the house for them. But that's what they would describe. That's the only thing close enough that I've heard. So I don't even like to say it's a BEK, but I mean, mm-hmm. that's just kind of our only sort of evidence other than maybe it's just a 7-year-old child walking around the woods, which is a little concerning, but, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, there are the feral people that are supposedly that live in the Smoky Mountains, which I guess it's more than supposedly. I'm pretty sure there are feral people in the Smoky Mountains.
I know a few of them that walk around Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg.
Gosh, I mean, so some years ago, I heard this story. I can't remember where it was. It was on, I know it was on YouTube, but I can't remember the channel. It was this guy talking about going hiking, and he went up and he stayed in one of the, what are they called? The like cabins for people who are traveling along the Appalachian Trail. Did I really say Appalachian? Appalachian. I'm not from up north. Gosh, that's Appalachian Trail. I know. Where do they go? Hostels. One of the hostels up there.
Okay.
And he's talking about like they stay up there, and then like during the night something like starts like banging on the door and like whooping and all this stuff. And I wish I could find that story again.
Yeah.
That's just one of the most terrifying things that I can think of. If you go up there, you're hiking and you're not prepared to be attacked by something, you know, unarmed. You're just,
yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do? You know,
I mean,
and who knows if it's a Bigfoot or I mean, either way, Bigfoot or feral person, you're screwed either way, you know?
And that people laugh at me or make fun of me that I take my gun into the national park, and they're like, what are you gonna do, shoot a ghost? And I was like, no, it's not for a ghost, it's for one, the random people that we find that are there to cause trouble, and or hogs.
Yeah, because hogs are
nasty.
I know,
but I was like, they're like, well, what if you did run into a Bigfoot? And I said, I don't think a 9mm is gonna do anything to it, it's just gonna make it mad.
Yeah, probably, unless you like shoot in the eye or something, which I heard that's like where you're supposed to aim for, because they're supposedly, I mean, no one studied a Bigfoot, but supposedly their skeletal structure is more dense than ours. So, you know, it's, you know, going to bounce right off the.
Yeah. That's just, what am I going to do? I'm just going to let it happen at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of hogs, we were up there, gosh, maybe it was around Mother's Day. And we let the kids ride in the back of the truck, and we went around Cates Cove.
Yeah, there you go.
And if you go past there's like that, I guess, a gift shop and stuff. If you don't follow the loop, if you go straight, you can go up, you know, over like these little water areas and up. Yeah. And there's some other cabins up there. It's actually an off-road trail, which I really want to try. Oh, it's supposed to take you over to
the tail.
Yeah, the tail of the dragon. Yeah, I wanted to do that one day.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. But yeah, so we were up there, and we got out and we were, you know, looking at the cabins and stuff, and I saw all these root marks from hogs, and I was like, guys,
everywhere.
Let's just go. I don't want to, you know, you don't want to be around if there's a hog with some babies around here.
Oh, you're screwed. Even at Elkmont and that schoolhouse, if you do the hikes in there, you'll see off, they're usually camouflaged a little bit, but you'll see like these little cages, and people are like, oh, that's for the bears. I said, no, that's for hogs.
Yeah.
Those are just hog traps. They get set and cleared every day.
So are they nuisance animals? Like, so if you actually shot one, you wouldn't get in trouble for it?
That's a gray area, I feel, because you're not, it's weird. You're not technically supposed to have a gun in the national park, but you can. Mm-hmm. But shooting in the national park is a absolutely no go. I think the only time it's acceptable is if you're in distress, but.
Which, I mean, if a hog is charging you.
I'm pretty distressed at that point.
Yeah, definitely.
But if we want to keep on the topic of Elkmont, there is one last story that I was saying that Black Eyed Kids story with me getting tossed is my second favorite. My number one favorite. I love this story because it can be absolutely nothing or it can be something that's really interesting. So we were doing the Estes Method in a cabin at Elkmont. And now I have the noise canceling headphones on. Matt is in the kitchen. He's just kind of going back and forth. He's asking a few questions. And again, I got all this on video, so it's really cool. Throughout the night, he has a GSMR radio. And he has scanning, goes about 5 miles. He's scanning for all the radio stations. You know, every once in a while, you'll hear a talk, but we think that might be the rangers talking back and forth. But it will have a static noise, and you'll hear a bang. Or static noise, and then a motion sensor will go off. Or a static noise, and something else would happen. So it seemed like the static was like a warning of something was going to happen, which is really cool. Well, I'm sitting on the floor, and I'm kind of just chilling there, and I'm just answering questions. Matt's walking back and forth, and the radio made this deep static. It was a different type of static than it's been doing all night. deep static. Okay. And then you see Matt take like two other steps, and then there was a loud bang, like something hit the side of the cabin. And then gunshot, like 4 seconds later, gunshot. And then another few seconds later, a third gunshot. We went like instantly, we went lights out. You know, we started doing, I let the camera record because I was able to kind of hide all the lights on and everything. And we're going back and forth. I'm like, what was that? And I'm like, we're thinking, is it a hunter in distress? Because it's the only time here. But where the gunshots happened was, it sounded like it came from the campground. And the campground is full of people. This is a week before Rod Run.
Yeah.
Like, the campground is packed. There was fires going, you know, people are out. Surely the rangers are going to be rolling up. So we kind of hunkered down. I ran across the street at one point, and I kind of just laid in the dirt. I wanted to see if somebody was coming up on us or what. No, like, I don't know what's going on. And we see one light about it. Now, this is like 80 yards away, but it kind of looked like it was like 6 to 7, possibly 8 feet up in the air. So maybe a headlamp. And that one light turned into two lights, and then it turned into three lights. And it looks like they're walking, you know, that little head bob movement as you're walking, but they don't seem to be getting closer or farther. And we waited there about 20, 25 minutes, and Matt kind of calls me over, and I run over, and he's like, I think it's time we pack up and go, because the rangers would have been here by now. Like, we need to make a phone call or something, because if there is somebody in distress, we need to know, or they need to know.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if there's somebody shooting at us, that's also not great.
Yeah.
And I can't say the bullets were aimed at us or anything like that. We just heard them. We're not about to find out. And we packed up, threw it in the truck, and the lights are still there. We still see the lights. And as soon as we turned the truck on, the lights went out. So they went lights out,
yeah.
Which even more weird. We got the truck. We go. And now at Elkmont, they have the caretaker, though, that takes care of the facilities at the campground 24/7, from my knowledge. And that kind of got validated by the ranger I called. We got like a few miles away. We got some cell service. Made a call. I was like, hey, I'm over at Elkmont right now. There was just some gunshots ringing off. I just wanted to let – he goes, I got all my rangers at Kate's Cove getting ready for a Rod Run. He goes, I'll send someone over. We're a little short-staffed tonight. He goes, but that's weird. No, the caretaker didn't call me, he said. And I said, well, I cut the footage. So if you need the footage, just get back in touch with me. Here's my phone number. You know, here's my email. Get in touch with me. I ended up sending it to him. But the caretaker swore up and down that there was no gunshots. And when we were driving through the campground, everything was as normal. You know, no one was astir. There was a few people having a fire still. It's like nothing happened. So the idea that we're going through was it a hunter in distress, which, why are you hunting in the national park? You can't be doing that.
yeah.
Or somebody in distress, like I should be. Was it somebody being mischievous, or was it residual energy / noise from back when?
Yeah.
Which I think that's a fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, the residual noise, because you got to think, I mean, if it was residual, I mean, tons of people probably. I mean, didn't Elkmont used to be like a hunting lodge at one time?
I don't think a hunting lodge, but I mean, yeah. I'm sure they hunted because they were all loggers. So, yeah. I mean, I'm sure they hunted for food or something. So, I mean, and it didn't sound like a high cat, like a big caliber. I would say maybe I want to say it was a little bit louder than a 9mm, but not by much.
Yeah. That's weird that no one like in the campground. You know what I was thinking, but I mean, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah.
So it could be, you know, what if someone, you know, like you said, the Rod Run guys, I'm sure they're, you know, drinking alcohol, even though they're not supposed to have it in the park. I'm sure they still are, you know. I mean, what if they're like throwing like bottles in the fire, you know, like whenever some bottles will explode and make that pop sound.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just saying that could.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
like to this day, we still don't think it's fully paranormal. We still think it was somebody in the woods. I just like, because I posted the video. I made a big TikTok and like explaining exactly what happened, like I just did.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I want everyone's thoughts. And somebody messaged me and was like, what's your take on residual energy? Because that's what it seems like from what everything you said. And I said, I personally don't think so, but I will entertain the idea. I mean, that's kind of the whole point of investigation. You're doing an investigation. I believe it was something as simple as somebody went out there with a gun and just shot a tree three times.
Yeah.
I don't think it was in distress because it wasn't rapid. It was very spaced out.
Yeah.
But like, I just think, I
mean,
somebody,
you gotta be pretty stupid to fire off a gun in a state park for, I mean,
Yeah.
National park for no reason, you know?
The thing that got me too was the caretaker never heard a peep. When I sent the video, they were very surprised. And the ranger was like, that was really weird. I never got a call. So it's like, okay, so there's where it starts to lean. What's what?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I have been at Elkmont the few times I've been there, and I've seen people hike at night up there. So, I mean, you know, that could, I'm just trying to say that, you know, the lights could be just hikers, but, you know, it's weird that they go off whenever you turn the truck lights on, you know, they're like.
Which we've had that happen in the past, too, where now we've been doing this for, what, 4 years now, and it's not our first time going near Rod Run. You know, we'll be doing an investigation, and these Rod Run guys will come up, and, you know, one of the last times we were doing it, we were investigating, and one of those squatted trucks came up, and they started going through the cabins, and there was like a cone on the ground. They took the cone, they threw it at the cabin, and they started doing all this stuff. And I was like, Jesus, all right, let's get out of here before we get blamed for this.
Yeah, yeah.
And we kind of, but as we got in the truck, they went lights out, and they hunkered down. They didn't want to be seen. They had no idea we were there because we went lights out when they pulled up.
Yeah, dang. People are stupid. You know?
That's a word for it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, so have they done any more? I know they're remodeling some of the cabins. Have they done any more remodeling since?
I think they're done with those. Okay. I know they were working on a few others, like the Walker Sisters cabin. That one's done now. I don't know where they're at right now. I know they're doing a lot of construction over at Laurel Falls. But that's just the
trail. What are they doing at Laurel Falls? It's, I mean, not becoming a podcast about the construction at the Smoky Mountains. But
I think they're making more parking spots there, which, whatever.
Yeah, because I drove by there. I mean, that place is always crowded.
Mixed feelings about the more parking spots. Like, I just feel like if there's no parking, unfortunately, you don't get to go. But they're making the trail more accessible. I guess they had a lot of people fall and break limbs. Gosh,
dude, let me tell you. So I took my kids, because I have been on Laurel Falls numerous times, right? When my kids were 5 or 6, we took them, you know, to hike up. And I didn't realize how crazy narrow and, like, deathly that one section is till you're hiking with a kid. And you're like, got a death grip on their hand because you're afraid they're going to jump off and to their death. You know? That one section right before you get up the top. Yeah, I'm like, I know people got pissed at us on the way back down because we were walking, you know, against traffic, but just stay against the embankment. So we, you know, aren't on the ledge side.
They'll get over it.
Yeah. But anyways, okay. Enough of the.
Oh, yeah. No, that's all I know where they're working right now.
I mean, it was pretty accessible, I think, though. I mean, it was paved up to a certain point. So, I mean, maybe they're paving the whole trail and going to put up like a guardrail.
I just saw a bunch of like those little ride behind tractors going up the one day. And I was like, that's what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Gosh, man. So we talked about Cades Cove a smidge. Do you guys go to Cades Cove anymore? I know it's not really, it's kind of frowned upon to be in there after dark, I think. Right.
Well, I got the permission.
I know. Yeah,
I got permission to go. I got the email from the park and saying that, hey, I have, but the only stipulation is only if the gate's open.
Yeah.
Now, if the gate's open and any person goes, like a ranger can roll up on you and be like, hey, where's your license? I didn't have to pay anything for that. I just had to ask permission. You know, the few times we've gone, I've had a ranger pull up on me twice. And they're like, hey, do you have him? Like, yep, here's my credential. All right, you're cool. And have a good night. Let me know if you need anything. We'll be at the forever. Okay, cool. But if the gate's not open, I can't just go around the gate. It's usually they don't want anyone in there for either bear activity or there's animal activity that they just don't want anyone in overnight. So they don't tell you when the gate's open. You just kind of have to drive all the way up there and fight gear it out for yourself.
Yeah, that kind of sucks.
Yeah, that's kind of why we don't fully go up there a whole lot. There's been a few times where we thought about maybe just going until the sun sets and just staying in there. But I guess I could drive through the exit, but I also don't want to be that guy if there is somebody coming out.
Yeah, definitely. So we talked a little bit about the birding park. We just mentioned the cabin. So I was talking to one of my police officer friends, and he said that they were up there they had a Halloween event a couple of years ago at what's the name of the house?
The Kelly Cabin.
Kelly. Yeah. So he said that he took a picture with his, you may have heard this on the last episode I talked about. He took pictures with his iPhone and it did like a live photo in one frame. There was a person standing in the doorway and then it wasn't on the frame before or after. which is pretty crazy.
We went there very short. You know, I went took my dog up there. You know, it was during the day. There was a lot of people, so I couldn't really do too much. I didn't get a whole lot, but I mean, that's just because, I mean, I couldn't get to maybe 90 seconds to do anything. So,
of course, you know, like you went because I told you about it.
Yes.
Isn't that right? Yeah. So
I saw the video and I wanted to go. And I called them and I asked if I could do an investigation there, and they told me they would arrest me if I show up. So I was just like, all right, cool. Well, and then I came on the show shortly after.
Yeah. I just want to know why are they so strict about that area? You know, I mean, what's going on there? I just think there's something that they know that they're not will arrest people on site.
I have my opinions about national parks. I think national parks are built as a hiding grounds, you know, like. Yes, they have the people who come in during the day, but at night, you know, everything is set free, you know, cool, awesome. I learned recently that national parks are a no-fly zone, but yet every time I go on an investigation, I see planes in the air flying over. Now, they're military planes, but they're planes.
Yeah. I mean, what about all the helicopters that are up in, you know, the Smokies that fly over?
I guess they can't go over a certain point because now this, again, from what I heard, this was a guy who used to work for the park. He said the national park's a no-fly zone. He goes, because if a plane were to crash in any sort of part, we might not be able to get there. Mm-hmm. There are places in the national park that no one can get to. Like, it's just not travelable or trekkable or whatnot. And it's weird because, you know, we'll go through and we'll have the big government vehicles come through.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys need to vacate this area. Why?
Yeah.
So, you know,
have you personally experienced that, the government vehicles?
Yes.
And not park rangers, but they're the actual government?
I can't say they're not park rangers. I don't know who they are. So
they wear black suits and black sunglasses and...
Not the men in black, but the first time we've encountered it, it almost looked like, I don't know if you ever seen the presidential motorcade, like the trucks that follow, like those pickup trucks with the big boxes and the antennas and everything. It kind of looked like that. Those trucks looked like that. And then the one guy, he got out, he was wearing like one of those Columbia button up, almost like a ranger. He's like, hey, I can't have you guys in this area. Hey, you guys can vacate. I said, oh, we always come for this area. Is anything going? He goes, just some stuff. We can't have any the public in. I said, okay, cool. So we turned around. We're like, that was weird. And then the one investigation that we did on Matt's trailer party, we went up to the schoolhouse. On our way out, there was now this could be nothing too. This is just something that I've thought was weird. There was a white Tahoe with Michigan plates and it had its hazards on. We drove by. We're like, that was weird. And we had the radios and the car behind us. I was like, we should go check on that person. The hazards were on. We all know you don't stop in the national park. You know, you don't stop in the Smokies. You don't stop in Appalachia. You don't do that. But we're like, you know what? There's like seven of us. We are all armed to the teeth. Let's go see if they're okay. So we made a U-turn. We came back around and Matt pulled up kind of alongside of it. I had my gun right here. I had it ready. And then they pulled up behind it and I got out and I had my flashlight and the tint is like 5%. Like you can't see nothing through it. Like flashlight up on it. I can't see anything in it.
Yeah.
And I kind of wide walk around it and there's no one in it. The front's not tinted, which I was like, okay, cool. I look through it. No one's in it. And then the girl that was with us, she had her gun behind it just in case. All you hear is slow the F down. And then we look back and there's like three or four other cars racing up on us. Like I think there was like it almost looked like a G-Wagon, like three G-Wagons. And we're like, we got back in the truck and we kind of just took off. And then which was weird. That was about 2 years ago. And here recently, when I went to go look to see if the schoolhouse was open, because they closed it down in the winter, I pulled up, you know, I was taking some pictures. I was looking around, seeing if they did anything over the winter. They didn't. And as I was leaving, a white Tahoe with big black tint came flying around the corner and just sat there. I was like, what? And it had Michigan plates. And I'm like, this is weird. And I, you know, I put my gun on my hip or on my lap. I'm in my truck and I pretended I was getting my radio ready. I just wanted to see if it was doing anything or seeing anything because I didn't see who was driving it. And it just sat kind of in front of me off to the side. And I was like, okay, this is weird. So I put my truck in drive and I started going and it U-turned and followed me. And as I was coming down the hill, I kind of like sped up a little bit and got to the bottom really quick. And I turned around and it never came down the hill.
It's weird.
I don't think that's anything. I don't know if that's government. I just think it's weird. Very black windows. And that's twice I've seen a Michigan white Tahoe. But for the government side of it, those like motorcade-ish vehicles is the only time that we've known that was like, hey, can't be in here. Yeah, he had a badge on his hip, but he was just wearing like a Columbia shirt.
Yeah.
Like one of those like Ranger tan ones.
Yeah, that's interesting. And well, hopefully I will get back up to the Smokies soon because seems like I'm missing out on some cool stuff going on.
I mean, that's all from the last like 2 years, but I mean,
yeah,
we'll go like 10 things without seeing a peep. And then all of a sudden, boom.
Yeah. So gosh, I don't know,
but
man, it has been great having you on. Yeah. It's almost 10 o'clock and I am going to have to get in bed because I got to be up at 6 a.m. No, do you work early or you work?
No, I'd say it was my Friday actually, so I get I get the next 3 off.
Nice, man, nice. So. You are very lucky.
Yeah, I'm gonna go enjoy the Stanley Cup tomorrow. I think so.
Oh yeah, I forgot the Stanley Cup was going on. I'm just out of hockey. I don't know. I haven't watched it in a while. I've been really into soccer lately.
I'm going to the Knoxville game on Friday. Knoxville. Yeah, I can't wait.
Awesome. Awesome. I wanted to go to Nashville on Saturday, but I think we missed out on our tickets because it's Father's Day weekend. That's one of the things I wanted to do, but I don't know. I've been coaching soccer. Okay. So I've always been into it, but now I'm even more into it, you know.
That's just one sport I want to get back into, but I'm just afraid with my knee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. You don't want to mess up your knee anymore. That would suck because, one good slide tackle and
I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm already definitely. Done, technically.
But, man, it was great having you on. Once again, tell everybody where they can find you.
Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok are our main ones at the Smokies on Forgotten Spirits.
Awesome, man. And, guys, once again, like, follow, subscribe, ring the bell. We're not on YouTube, but ring the bell anyways if you're on YouTube and happen to see us at some point. But, guys, thanks a lot for checking out AFK Discussions. And check out FatTac.com for all your tactical needs. And we will see you next time. Peace. Awesome. What hearts beyond the edge of reason? Every answer spawns a deeper question. If you could see